Right.
Where we were.
Remember last time he told me where we were, it was the wrong book. So we'll try it again, all right? Matthew 17. No, no, I'm kidding. Isaiah 23. So I don't remember. Do you all read out loud, or does he read it to you?
All right.
All right. We'll try and do that, but it's dark up here, and I'm blind. So.
Oh, we can have the lights on because there's not an overhead today.
Did he give you the verse?
Did he give me the verse? One.
I think we're down about 11.
Yeah.
We actually have a tech guy on staff here.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, he shows, Dwight says something, he pops up, but he's on vacation, so.
That's good, because you don't know what I'm going to say.
Well, they keep
some weird things could pop up on that screen.
Norm never knows what Dwight's going to say either.
So. All right, so some say that we're at verse 11, some say we're starting at the beginning, but we'll just read the whole thing and go from there. Yeah, we'll read the whole thing and go from there. So, an oracle concerning Tyre. An oracle means a what? Prophecy. Referring to them. So, wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed and left without house or harbor. From the land of Cyrus, word has come to them. Be silent, you people of the island, and you merchants of Sidon, whom the seafarers have enriched. On the great waters came the grain of the Shire. The harvest of the Nile was the revenue of Tyre, and she became the marketplace of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, and you, O fortress of the sea, for the sea has spoken. I have neither been in labor nor given birth. I have neither reared son nor brought up daughters. When word comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report from Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish, wail, you people of the island. Is this your city of revelry, the old city, whose feet have taken her to settle in the far-off lands? Who planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are renowned in the earth? The Lord Almighty planned it, to bring low the pride of all the glory and the humble, all of who are renowned on the earth. To your land, as long as the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish, for you no longer have a harbor. The Lord has stretched out his hand over the sea and made its kingdom tremble. He has given an order concerning Phoenicia, that her fortress be destroyed. He said, no more of your reveling, O virgin daughter of Sidon, now crushed up, cross over the Cyprus. Even there will you find no rest. Look at the land of the Babylonians, this people that is now of no account. The Assyrians have made it a place for desert creatures that raised up their siege towers. They stripped its fortresses bare and turned it into ruin. Wail, you ships of Tarshish, your fortress is destroyed. At this time, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, the span of a king's life. But at the end of these 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute. Take up a harp, walk through the city, O prostitute forgotten. Play the harp well, sing many a song, so that you will be remembered. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her hire as a prostitute and will ply her trade with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. Yet her profit and her earnings will be set apart for the Lord. They will not be stored up or hoarded. Her profits will go to those who live before the Lord for abundant food and fine clothes. So that's a nice story. What are they talking about? Did you catch it? Tyre is a city that is the, let's call it the hub of a wheel. Okay? It's the thing that holds the whole surrounding area together. It's where everybody comes to trade, sell, do whatever, tires the place. Even Egypt is sending, as you read through there, its grains and stuff up there to be sold. So they are just this very prosperous place. It says a place where princes live. You know, and they live the life of princes there. They are very wealthy, very, but they're missing what? God. They don't have God. And God has given them several warnings. Hey, do this or else. And it's come to a point that or else is ready to happen. And this is a prophecy of what's going to happen to them. You know, trying another warning. Hey, this is going to happen, so be prepared. And he even says in there to go ahead and start spreading out to other lands because this area will be destroyed. Okay. Recently in the news, you hear in California, they've had two earthquakes. 7.1, 6.7. I mean, if you've seen any pictures from those, did you see the water all jump out of the pool? Do you see that one and stuff? I mean, it's just... He's talking about their harbors being destroyed. And it says it will quake. Similar to like that. It's going to quake. Whatever's there is going to be ruined. Okay? There's not going to be able to harbor in the boats. What do the boats bring? Well, grains from Egypt. The different things that are coming. Those things that are going to be there. All because of their lack of wisdom when it comes to God. They're not there. So what do we read here about that? How long is it going to last? 70 years. The lifespan of a king. Okay, so it's going to be desolate for 70 years. And then what's going to take place? They're going to come back. He talks about them coming back, but they're not going to come back the way they were. If you get the readings there, like 1 through 13 is the destruction of it, or 1 through 14. 15 through 18 is talking about the rebuilding, about the resettling. But if you notice the difference in 15 to 18, they're not coming back as they were. They're coming back as payers of the prostitute. Now, what does he mean, payers of the prostitute?
I don't think he's talking about like the prostitute as a woman. I think he's talking about the prostitute like a businessman.
Right. They have prostituted themselves out for worldly things so that it's now going to cost them everything. And when they come back, paying the prostitute, they're going to pay for their things. And it says, for the glory of who? God. Now they're going to come back, they're going to rebuild, they're going to be allowed to be the city they were, but godly. But that everything they do goes to the glory of God. Okay? Neat story. It's a part of history. So why do we read it today? What?
This is... foretelling what is now. We are now living in this scripture right there.
Yeah, if you remember the old saying, those who don't study history are condemned to repeat it. Those who don't know it, I mean, it seems like we maybe forgot some of these stories. How many of you have forgotten God? Well, I didn't expect any hands because you're here. But how many in the world, how many people who used to be gods have forgotten God because of the lure of the world? You know, 9/11 happened. In the 3 months after 9/11, what took place? Churches were filled. I mean, people were driving back. 6 months after 9/11, what happened? They didn't go back to the numbers they were. They went lower. You know, we forget so quick nowadays the things that are going on. And we read stories like this, and it's terrible if that's going to happen to them, but could it happen to us? I mean, America built on God, refreshed all the time by God, who seems to be forgetting God. Could God be sending warnings to us? What kind of warnings would he send today?
The earthquakes.
The wind. We have some here because they're flooded out, right? The floods that are happening. I mean, there's a lot of different things that take place that is like little wake-up calls. Little wake-up. Hey, look at. Who's in charge? God. No matter what happens. I mean, we're living in a country now where, you know, the respect for offices all over has dwindled down to nothing. There's no respect for police officers. There's no respect for all the way up to president. There's just no respect. You know, we're living in a country where if I voice my opinion, it should be so.
Yeah, just like you had your colleges, your Yale and Harvard. Those were divinity schools. They were established the Bible.
Right.
People could learn about the Bible. Now they're not.
Right. Right. We're bent today on changing history. You know, the big story last night I was watching, a principal was relieved of his job because a Jewish family asked him what they did about how much of the Holocaust they would teach and stuff, and he said, well, we can't do a whole lot of it because we're not really sure it's true history. You know, we're not sure that it happened. You know, gosh, I was here 9 months ago. I'm really trying to figure out if that happened. Yeah, I've been searching for that. And normally when you do that, you look for the pay stub or something, but it's not there. Yeah. We can change anything. I wasn't there. Does anybody remember me being there? See? I mean, huh?
You're saying to be a witness.
Oh. I thought I got away with it. But when you look at it, I mean, what are we looking at? What's the world coming to? What is everybody aspiring to? Yeah.
Worldliness.
Wealth, health, and whatever I can get, right? I mean, you even see churches changing. You know, I mean, I've got a friend that is gay, who now goes to a gay church, and I said, well, how does that work? He says, well, fine. I said, what about these scriptures? He says, oh, they're not in our Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah has been erased from their Bibles. You know, different things like that. We just change history to fit what we want, and we go on. How many of you believe God has changed? How many of you believe His Word has changed? I mean, it's still the same, right? And so if we go back to Tyre here, Tyre is in trouble because of their lack of godliness. Yeah.
Yes, you're talking about the gates. You know, when you see that about the gates, in Romans 1:28, I direct them to that when we talk to them. I said, it's not our law, it's God's law. So read Romans 1:28. That's sort of self-explanatory right there.
Right. It's not us condemning them. People are like, who are you to condemn me? I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, read. You know, do you believe in God? Well, yeah, we believe in God. Then read. You know, but if we abandon that, if we take it out, or add different things in that say it's okay, then we can go on, right? I mean, how many of you belong to God? How many of you understand that everything you have is His? And if He gave it to you, He can take it away. I mean, overnight. Where do you live? Are you Terry?
Me?
No, you're Terry's daughter.
I'm Abby.
Abby. Abby, where do you live?
Kansas.
And what do you have left there?
A home.
Is your home there?
Yeah.
Okay, they said you got flooded out, so I didn't know how bad it got flooded out.
Oh.
So I was just asking.
No, I just need to stay for a while.
Okay.
But they're having homes. They're not there. But we don't have a beach anymore.
There was a beach in Kansas? I need to get around and see these United States. Lakes, okay. So Abby's here. I have an uncle who's a farmer in Indiana who has yet to put his crop in his field. When normally the rule of thumb is your corn is knee-high by 4th of July, you know, they haven't even put the seed in the ground. So how does that affect you? Prices. If you're driving a flex fuel vehicle, you're going to notice it. I mean, by October, they're saying, you'll notice the difference in prices of that because there won't be the corn. With that shortage comes the higher prices, something like that. There was a farm north of my uncle who has pigs and cows that live in row homes, and their row homes had 3 feet of water in them, and 3/4 his cattle died. What does that do to meat prices? You know, you'll see that starting September. You're going to start seeing some of these things come to fruition. I mean, it's going to... Why are these things happening? What is it all about? You know, is it just nature, or is it God giving warning signs? Is it Him saying, I mean, through the study today, hey, take heed. Take heed of my word. I'm your God. What does the word say about Him? He's a jealous God. He's a just God. He's a God that desires our praise and worship. He's a God who loves us, who knows us, there's a lot of things you can say about Him, but He's that God that's going to be just and give justice, who's going to take care of His and try to draw all of us back to Him. Now, we're here today. We're part of the choir, we call it. You know, we're preaching to the choir. You know this stuff. You know that we have to be His. But how many of you have a neighbor that's not?
And sometimes we have to be reminded also.
Yeah. We have to be reminded because we sit back on our laurels. I've been there, done that, but I mean, I asked my church this last week, when's the last time you brought somebody to church? I mean, it wasn't happening here in Tyre. They weren't bringing, matter of fact, they weren't going themselves. They had walked away from God for money and property and all the different stuff. And so He's going to get their attention, and He's not just going to get a few of them. He's going to wipe out their town.
Arrange a ball of justice on his
head. Right. And when that happens, what? I mean, you're sitting in here this morning and you are the believers, you are the ones that are His, and there's a whole bunch out there that aren't, and they're living how they want to live and doing what they want to do and making laws in those ways. And when God decides, okay, lesson time, He doesn't just choose them. Because of that saying, the rain will fall on the just as well as the unjust. I mean, we're going to feel that when it comes. And we're going to feel it because maybe we weren't doing what we were supposed to do to show them and teach them. You know, to make a stand. If it wasn't to bring them in, at least to make a stand and say, hey, this is wrong. You know? The number one killer in the world last year, abortion, and the numbers of 54 million. Million. Yeah. Should make you cry because the cure for cancer was probably one of them. You know, God gave us the answer, but we killed it. Well, that's nothing new. He gave us Jesus, and we killed him. Right? So the world isn't much different today than it was back then. In Tyre, it's not much different than it was in Jesus' time. The people wanted what the people wanted, and if you get in the way... Is the church in the way today? The church is in the way, though. It has to be in the way, because look at them attack it. Don't you see the church getting attacked? I mean, removing the Ten Commandments from the courthouses, eliminating prayers from schools. One click, one step, one step, one step, until they can eliminate God. You know, go to Houston, Texas. For a period of time, all the ministers had to submit their sermons to the town council and have them okayed to preach. You know, nice law. And if they didn't like what you were saying, they would edit it and give it back to you, and here's what it's going to do. California has a bill in their house right now trying to be pushed through that calls sermons hate messages. And they already have the law that you can't do hate messages in California. So if they push that through, then what? What does the church do?
Go underground.
Go underground or close.
They're trying to rewrite our history right now.
Right.
You know, let's do away with the Pledge of Allegiance at a city council meeting.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be, let's do away with statues, or it already is. Let's do away with those things that are at least a bit offensive. And then one day it's going to be the violence in the Bible.
Right.
We've got to do away with that. So let's just don't have the Bible anymore. Well, we don't have a Bible, we don't need the preachers. If we don't have the preachers, we don't have the church. And it's starting, it has already started. Right.
It's just a step-by-step progression. You know, when one person... can stop a company. When they came out with a Betsy Ross tennis shoe, and one person complained, and they pulled the whole line. One person complained, and they pulled $70 million worth of shoes off the trucks. It wasn't a small feat. $70 million worth of shoes already made. They're now sitting somewhere. Yeah, it's just a slow migration to it. What we're seeing in our scriptures today is this city of Tyre is well past where we're at today in America. That God's finally saying, okay, I'm going to deal with you. I've sent you my prophets, I've sent you preachers, I've sent you other things, you're not listening, so let me deal with you. Yeah. Anyone ever had God deal directly with them? Could be something, can it? Joe.
Today's paper emphasized that the tariffs that Trump is putting on China is going to affect our Bibles, because 90% of our Bibles are printed in China. And so they're going to be higher price on their Bibles.
Yeah.
So people won't be able to get Bibles, and the Gideons and all these others that give Bibles away are not going to be able to.
So what does that cause? Right now today, to go along with him, right now today there's a shortage of Bibles in America. How many of you have more than one? How many of you could give somebody one? So there's not a shortage of Bibles, but they're telling you there's a shortage of Bibles because when they said the tariffs were going out, the Gideons went out and bought this many Bibles to get ahead of that increase in price. Our church just bought 50 Bibles. When people come to church, we give them a Bible. If they don't have one, we give it to them. Here, so you can follow along with us, kind of thing. And we went to a store in Tennessee, in Nashville, Tennessee, and we got NIV Rainbow Leather Bound Study Bibles for $7.10 a piece. regularly $99 or something like that a piece. But this store said, here, make sure people get them. They want to flood Nashville with the Bible. So my wife happened to be up there. My daughter lives there. So my wife called me and says, how many do we need? I said, 50. You know, so we went and bought 50 of them. Because the perceived idea there's a shortage, it's going to be because of the tariffs. It hasn't hit yet. But there won't ever be a shortage because I bet I have 20 Bibles. I have one that sits on my pulpit and doesn't move. And I have the exact same Bible at home that I do my studying out of. So when I go to church, I know it's there. I just flip to the page I need and I'm ready to roll. You know, I have that same Bible next to my bed. I have that same Bible next to my easy chair. Do I need all four of them? Well, no, I could take the one off the podium home and study from it. I have enough to give people. Here's the question. When's the last time you gave away a Bible? To a neighbor? To a friend? Take it to the hospital and give it to someone in the hospital? Have you ever thought about giving away that you have an abundance of? You know, it's simple things like that. We're hoarding them. I mean, if I'm a hoarder, I'm a hoarder of Bibles. I mean, I've got mine from college. I can't tell you. I say I got 20, I bet it's more. Ask my wife, she'll probably be able to tell you. He only's got 100, you know. But do I need all of them? No. You know, some I hate to get rid of because they have so many notes in them. But others I could just...
It's nice to give a Bible away to somebody else because it's a physical gesture. But you can give a Bible away.
Right. Right. Well, ours... If you come to my church, you'll see a third of the people pick out their Bible. And you'll see the other two-thirds go like this. You know, and if you don't have Wi-Fi, they're like... And our church doesn't have Wi-Fi. And they're like, what is wrong with you? I mean, I've got to use data to see my Bible? Oh, well. You know. But just those things that you look at and do, it's like... Tyre got so far away from God that God himself was going to deal with them. Now, I would much rather listen to a singing group that came in and had a message for me, or a minister who had a message, or someone teaching a Bible lesson with a message and change, than to have God himself come deal with me. Okay. I've had an instant in my life where I believe God himself came and dealt with me. You know, I've probably shared it to you one other time. When I said, I have had enough, and I walked away. And for 6 months, it was really like hell on earth. God was not going to let me go as hard as I wanted to go. You know, and it was just this constant battle, and it was finally like, okay, I get it. You know, he kept throwing things in my path. And I know it was him because they were all biblical things I knew I should be about and doing that I wasn't doing. You know, it wasn't snares and traps. It was just, here. Here's someone that needs you. Are you going to help them? Here's someone that needs you. Are you going to help them? You know, and God gets your attention. And I feel like in America... God's been trying to get our attention. I think here at First Christian Punta Gorda, God's trying to get your attention. I mean, we have empty pews, we have empty seats in Bible study, how many of you have someone you know that is without Christ? Why? Have you told them? Yeah. Just pray. Yeah. He's Pharaoh, but sooner or later Pharaoh had his attention gotten, wasn't it? You know? I mean, there's people out there who don't want to hear, but there's other people that Sometimes all it takes is an invitation. Sometimes maybe it's this, that little thing of hand them a Bible or a book or a devotional or a, you know, thing like that. Our church, we only average about 60 right now on Sunday morning, and we still buy 200 daily bread. And I had one person ask, why do we get so many? So we can give them out. You know, we tell everybody, take three. One for you to use, one for you to hand out, one for you to have on an emergency case when somebody comes up and says, you can say, here. I mean, it gets them something to start with, something to go on. You know, you're giving them a piece of the word instead of whatever comes from your mouth. Yeah. And so you do those things. I mean, it's about him. When you read this story about Tyre, it's about him. He's going to bring them around to his way of thinking. And he's going to take 70 years to do it. New generation. He sold Israel into slavery into Egypt, and he let it go for 400 years before he brought them back to what they were. I mean, when he teaches a lesson, it's a lesson. When you see it happen, it's right there in front of you. I mean, he dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah personally. You know, just one of those things. We can't even find it today. We find all kinds of artifacts and different things about different cities and different things coming on, but they can't find those. Well, no, they're not going to, because Scripture says, as if they never existed. It's gone.
Just like Babylon. They didn't find Babylon until the early 1800s. Scientists, astrologers, all those people, that didn't exist.
Yeah. And why was it destroyed?
Because
they all spoke the same language. They all got together. They all decided to build a tower. Somebody had the idea. We could be like God. Don't they remember how that came out the first time? Who else wanted to be like God? Satan. How did that work out for him? I mean, how many of you think you're as smart as God? How many of you think you got it? I've been coming to church for 54 years, and buddy, I know this. Anybody there yet? Isn't it amazing every time you read the Bible, you can read the same thing and read something new? That this light bulb goes off and you're like, because it's infinite. I mean, it's a living word. If it's living, it's changeable. Not that it changes, God's word is still there, but it changes for us as we mature, as we grow, as we get it, then we start seeing more. Then this Holy Spirit starts revealing more to us, starts showing us more. I mean, here's this city who didn't get it, who God's saying, I'm going to wipe you from the face of the earth. Then I'm going to rebuild you better than you ever were. But it won't be for your glory. The first time you were taking all the glory, you were saying, look at us, look at us, look at us, and just raking in the dough. This time it's going to be for me, for my glory. Now I'm going to rebuild you so that you can be the city you were meant to be. Take it on an individual basis. How many of you have been changed? How many of you were in it for you? That's the way we start off life, isn't it? You know? And then we meet God. And then we meet His Son, Jesus. And we come to a point and a decision where we're going to change. Do we change? Who changes us? God. If we were to change, we'd probably make us into what we already were. Because that's all we know. Yeah, but God knows what we should be. Just like Tyra here. He knows what the city should be. So for 70 years, we're gonna change some people's minds. We're going to do some different stuff. And then we're going to bring you back together. And we're going to put you together as you should be for my glory. I was whatever I wanted to be growing up and doing whatever I wanted to do until I met this God and this Jesus that changed us to be what we ought to be. And answer this, are you different today than you were prior to Him? Your thoughts are different. Your actions are different. I mean, everything about you is different because of this guy. So that you could be what He created you to be rather than what you were creating yourself to be. That's what the story is about. Regeneration, repurposing, reinventing, renewing us into what we ought to be. Renewing your church into what you ought to be. You know, it's not about sitting there and stuff and talking. I was talking to a couple people here and I'm one of these, I don't care. I don't. Sunday I came in with the idea that I was going to preach a sermon that I'd written on punching my ticket. I was going to talk all about making sure that I was ready for Jesus. And four visitors came in and each one of them had a little story they told me, stuff like this, and I said, well, it's weird that four visitors came in and four visitors all told me the same story. They don't know each other. One just got in, flew in that night before from Ohio. One had moved here from Illinois. One was visiting family. I mean, they didn't know each other. And they all come to me and tell me the same story. So I could either A, preach the sermon that I thought I should preach, or B, preach what God was telling me. What do you do?
It's a funny way of getting to you.
So, if you're going to preach what God is telling you, when do you start? I mean, He's been telling you for years, has He not? I mean, what is it He's been telling you? What does He want you to do?
He wants you to love Him with all your heart, with all your mind. And then if we do that, then we can have heaven here on earth. We don't have to wait so long.
And if we love Him with all our mind, heart, and soul, then we're going to do what He wants us to do when?
Now.
So, how many of you are doing what He wants you to do now? I mean, it's plain. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts all has it. Go ye therefore into all the world, teaching, preaching, and baptizing. When's the last time you went? When's the last time you taught? When's the last time you baptized somebody? See, because if we're not doing that, and I tell my church this all the time, we're a social club. If it's not about Him and His kingdom and getting His people, then we're a social club and we deserve Tyree. We deserve to be shaken up so that we're about doing what God wants us to do. I don't know that I have 70 years left to get it right. Anybody here have 70 years left to get? They do. Those three do. How old are you? Yes. 37. You might have 70 years. 107. I don't know. There's a lady in Hawaii who just celebrated her 115th birthday, so there's hope.
One here that was in our paper today, 107.
Yeah.
And she was left to go with him.
Yeah. But most of us don't have 70 years to be renewed and restored, do we?
No.
To get our minds changed. So we have to look at it today, and when we take this lesson, we look at it, okay, so what do we have to do today?
we can
to who? Yeah.
If you believe that you're where you are, because that's where God wanted you to be, isn't it still possible that you may not be clear on what it is you're supposed to do?
Yep. Why are you planted here?
Good question.
Yeah. And I have a guy, I had a guy, Frank Knapp in my church, who was living on about a third of his heart and doing his different stuff, and he said, why doesn't God just take me? He's so frail, so... And I said, there's still someone that only you can reach. And you got to believe that. There's someone here, someone in this community, someone where you're living, that you're the only person that's going to reach him. Now, do you want to go home to God, or you want to reach that person first? And how long do you think you have to reach that person? I mean, I read my Bible, and I find I'm not promised of tomorrow. So if there's someone I need, I've got to figure out who. And it's hard sometimes to figure out who, isn't it? Or why. I mean, I believe I do these things. I mean, sometimes you might be planted here because they need someone on the mowing team. And that sounds mowing team. And I tell my church, that is the most important ministry going in our church. Because it's weird, but if we don't look good on the outside, they're not going to come see what's on the inside. Something has to pop or get their attention. You know, they drive by out here, what grabs their attention? You know, there's a little something on your sign about kids today. Did you all know that? That your sign says something about kids? Huh?
Jeff does it.
Jeff does it? What does it say, Jeff?
One sign says Jesus loves the little children. The other side, unborn lives matter.
Why is that on your sign? Those are great signs. I'm not. Why are those on your sign? Why do we have a sign?
Send a message.
Send a message to get attention, to make them think and wonder. I mean, I read it coming in, but I thought, oh man, that's cool. So how many kids you got? Three right now.
We have to ship them in.
Yeah.
From other states.
So, and I know that about the church, Jeff, but how many of you believe your sign? The unborn matter.
We just did a little project with the Pregnancy Care Life Center. We filled the little baby bottles with coins and everything.
Were they this big? Oh, see, they gave us these little tiny ones. I mean, I could fit like five quarters in it. We did a similar thing with but they gave us such little bottles. We were like, people said, "What are we doing?" I said, "Take five or six." I don't know. They were kind of tiny, but yeah. You do something to make a difference.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't have any in your church. It's the thinking we have them in our church. See, you're part of the kingdom, right? And so what you did with those bottles benefits the two newborns at our church, who one would not have been if it wasn't for a place like that. It makes an effect, you know. And you hear those stories. I mean, you have to look at those things. We're not it. We're just a part. You might be the thumb or the finger or the toe or the whole picture.
Are you still ministering to the homeless in your church?
We are. This Saturday. If you want to cook, you be there at 7. If you want to eat, you be there at 8.
I mean, do you win anybody?
Yes. If it wasn't working, we wouldn't do it. But we have several success stories. We have a couple that was on the street trying to get off. We found an employer who needed somebody in Houston, And we got them together with him, and he bought their bus tickets and paid their first 3 months apartment rent so they could go there and be his, like, foreman on the ground. And today, that was like 6 years ago. Today, each month, we don't do it for this, but each month they send us $20 for that ministry so they could pass it on to somebody else getting it. We had a lady that was on the street that had got beaten up 3 or 4 times. She came to us, just this ugly, bruised, beat-up pulp. Took her in, took care of her, found out her background. She has a nursing license in the state of Ohio. Worked out with her and found out she has a daughter with grandkids. The daughter is trying to raise 3 kids on her own. So, finding out different things, went through the police. They found the girl up there, got us a phone number. We called her, and she says, "I've been looking for Mom for 4 years. She says, if you can send her here, she has a place to live. She is now the head of the neonatal unit of Grant Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. That was down here on the streets, homeless. You know, because of our ministry, I mean, and I could tell you story after story of people we've done it to. Now, there are that group of people that don't want to change. They don't want the government to know where they are or what they're doing. They're just trying to survive day to day doing what they do. We still minister to them. We still give them Christ and everything we do. I mean, in order to eat, they have to sit through the Bible lesson and everything. I mean, it's... So, we do those things. But yeah, it has been very successful for us. And we have the closet where they get fresh clothes, and we have the laundry room we built in the church so they can do all their laundry for them. I mean, just everything that we can do that way. So, and the laundry room is one of the best investments you'll ever do, because when a hurricane comes and there is no power, all it takes is a generator. We had a generator for 2 days, but we're on the emergency grid. We're an old firehouse. So when they fire up the emergency grids, we get fired up. And we were able to, even though we didn't have a roof, we were able to do laundry and cook and feed. And I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people that came through us during a hurricane. So just do what you can do. I mean, it's all about doing what you can do. And it's not for us. I mean, it's not our glory. We didn't get the guy to Houston and stuff like that. God put the right people in the right place to touch and reach out to and do the stuff to get them back to safety. So it's just those things, and that's what this town forgot. So God is going to deal with them himself to bring them back to what they should be. In the end, we see, what does he say? At the end of 70 years, the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her hire as a prostitute and will ply her trade with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. Yet her profit and her earnings will be set apart for the Lord. They will not be stored up or hoarded. Her profits will go to those who live before the Lord for abundant food and fine clothes. So it's going to the people. God's going to take care of everybody through this place now for his glory. You're not going to hoard it. You're not going to store it up. You got it. Use it. You know, it's that saying, try to outgive God. Can you? No. No. And so you do the things that you think you can do to benefit his kingdom, whatever those things are. Yeah. So, that's Tyre. That's chapter 23.
Thank you.
Questions, anything? All right.
I need help.
The psychiatrist will be in at 2.
And then I need help decorating. We've got, let's see, what do we do it? 10 minutes?
So 10 minutes.
We've got to do it in 8 minutes. Norm usually times us.
Do what?
Decorate.
Decorate what?
For 10 minutes.